Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen, and as many of you likely know from either following along in the blogs or perhaps from listening to the good news last week, I've just returned from another great trip to Zambia. I was joined by a couple other folks in the Sangha, Rebecca and Donna. Unfortunately, Donna couldn't be with us this evening due to prior engagement, but Rebecca is here with me. She's agreed to be with us this evening to help talk about the trip. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, all three of us managed to pick up the cold that was lingering on the property. Lots of folks. Teresa got sick, 3 days, I think, before we were to leave. And I was determined to dodge it, but didn't at the last minute. So that's what you're hearing in my voice, if it's still there.
Yeah, it's there. Sorry about that. I'm afraid I might have been just the link before the cold to you, so I hope I'm not the carrier that gave it to you. But
no, I think it was pretty much unavoidable given what we were up against. At any rate, I thought we might start by just kind of talking about some of our favorite parts of the trip and kind of go from there. So you want to start us off?
Sure. I was trying to decide which of the many favorites that I wanted to talk about, but the one that just keeps bubbling up to the top in favorite category is playing with the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this trip, I got the happy assignment to spend some time, you know, directly with the kids. And, you know, there was a work element, but, you know, when we were taking the pictures, and that was just a ball too. But what I keep going back to is the afternoon that, two different afternoons, one was spent just playing outside. It was sunny that day. It didn't rain. And we were playing out on the grass and just having a ball. And then the games that we were, you know, doing sort of eventually gave way to the women coming out and bringing out the drums, and people were singing and there was dancing, and it was just a really fun, like, full afternoon of just like celebration and fun. And so that was really, I think, among the favorite afternoon, you know, days of the trip for me. And I saw that And then a very, very, very close second was like that. I think it was the next day or maybe the day after when I got to read to the kids and was just, you know, like you were the day before, just sort of surrounded by these children,
mm-hmm.
hungry to read and reading right along with me, the Cat in the Hat. You know, we were just saying the words together, you know, in sort of this sing-song rhythm. And that was just so much fun too.
Yeah. I really loved both of those instances also. I think on that afternoon when you were outside playing with all them and the women came out and they were drumming, I was doing some meeting sort of things. And I loved that as the sort of business of things was being taken care of, knowing that that sort of attention was being paid to the children was just such a pleasure. And that was one of the things that struck me over and over in this trip, was seeing the effect that attention has. And how applicable that is, of course, in practice, and seeing a tangible form of that where, as you're talking about, the minute we would take a book out and say, hey, anyone want to read? Oh, kids would swarm around. And how fun it was to see that a good number of them actually could read with us.
Yeah, yeah, they really could. And I do, I know what you mean, because, you know, we all, I think, made a lot of effort to learn more and more names of the children. And so I noticed that throughout the week when I would see someone I would recognize, I would say, like, you're Mary, right? And just that little bit of attention, Mary would just light up. Yes, you know, just to having been recognized and being and receiving that little bit of attention did seem, I project, to make her very happy. And all, you know, and that was going on off and on throughout the whole time we were there. So, you know, the attention in big doses, like those reading sessions, and then the attention in little doses, just the one-on-one encounters, is, you know, with the children.
Yeah, yeah. Donna had that brilliant idea, I think, sort of day four or something, to break out the masking tape.
Yeah.
So brilliant, fabulous, because, you know, over the years, I don't know, I've probably learned 24 names of the kids, you know, out of 800, because it's just, it's so hard for the brain to keep track of that much information. But then to have those, that masking tape there, and so you could say, oh, you know, hey, Mary, hey, Susan, hey. Mm-hmm. And again, to see their faces, you say, light up was just so much fun, and so much fun for us because, of course, we always feel that connection. We always, when we're with one child, we have that connection with that one child. But be able to call them by name sort of, I think for them, seem to, I project, signify, I see you. I
yeah.
care about you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you, I'm sure you did notice this, but on the second, third, even fourth day after the masking tape was passed out, kids were still wearing it. So they were like moving it from day to day to their, or wearing it from day to day to their clothes.
Which when you think about, you know, what the amount of sort of dirt that they've got going on and all that, to be able to do that is extraordinary, to save that little
yeah.
masking tape from one day to the next.
Yeah, I thought it showed a real desire to have that on there,
yeah.
a real effort on their part.
Yeah. So I have to say that one of my favorite parts of the trip was the extraordinary effort to do the training in taking 800 photos, individual photos of the kids. So what we're doing in this coming year is we're really going to be focusing on child sponsorship and encouraging people, if they want to participate in the project, that one of the ways they can do that is to sponsor a particular child. And there are now 800 children in the program. And so we wanted to take current photos of the 800 children. And we knew there's no way in whatever we had 8 days on the ground that we would be able to do that. It's a huge project. And so you, mostly you and Veronica, I think it was, spent many of those 8 days training on how to do that, how to take the photo, how to download it from the camera onto the computer, how to name the file, how to send it back, how to email it over here to our IT team. I mean, the steps that were involved in that were amazing. And what was really, really fun to see, and, you know, maybe you can speak to this because you had the direct experience, was how dedicated Veronica was to learning that process and how much, what a huge learning curve there was in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's one step of the process, and I think it's one of the most important steps, and that was how to remember to cross off the name on the master list to show that that child has been sent, you know, that picture. And because what you're describing is a whole, I mean, when you think about the organizational skills necessary to take on successfully a project of that magnitude without benefit of spreadsheets and, you know, all kind of electronic spreadsheets. Like, I mean, the system, first of all, just had to be devised. So their first thing that they did was create this master list, combine all those classrooms, the classes lists, and, you know, and at one point in the whole process when Veronica was just really I project painstakingly, you know, typing the kids' names, but it really wasn't. Turns out it wasn't painful at all for her. I said to her, I said, do you enjoy this this work? And she has been so intent on the computer that I, you know, the look on her face, I thought, she's just, I don't know if she's liking this. Mm-hmm. And she just lit up and said, oh, yes, I love this, you know. And I thought, well, that was amazing, first of all, because it was just very intense kind of work. But she was just so totally absorbed in it and really enjoyed learning. I mean, that was, I think, is the underlying appetite to learn. Yeah. It's just so attractive in that whole community, you know, the children, the, you know, the Veronica, the other co-op people. And so that was one thing that struck me.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that's really what I came away with. I realized that a piece of the sitting down and reading with the children for me was wanting to sort of see for myself, have a firsthand experience of where are the kids as we go forward in creating this English program that we're talking about really being our next big step in the program. And to see that, how much they do respond when there is that individual kind of attention and how much they do want to learn and how much there is already a foundation for that made me so excited and hopeful for this project that we're going to put in place over the next 6, 8, 12 months. Because I just know that if we can put together, design a program that both literally does the English component, you know, the literacy, the speaking, the reading, the writing, but also with that has a mentoring component and has that kind of individual attention that we're looking for. I just think it's a huge potential for a leap forward in the opportunities for these kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do too. And I mean, I would love nothing better than to go back a year from now and read those same stories and see those same, you know, kids and just see the growth that has happened. I mean, you know, that afternoon when y'all were in the leadership meeting and the rains came and y'all sat in silence, you know, I was in the other room with the kids reading, and it was so loud, and I kind of tried to stop reading for a while because, I mean, I was just like getting hoarse because we were, you know, having to talk so loud, but they were just like wanting to keep on. We were reading this book together, and so it's like they were like, you know, keep going, you know, and so we were, you know, screaming out the Cat in the Hat, you know, thing one, thing two, and they were just eating it up. And so I don't have, I mean, I think with whatever attention tools, mentoring, books, resources we can give them, it will just be, you know, it'll just be so well received and so well absorbed.
Yeah, and
a great investment.
Yes, exactly. And exponential was a word that was coming up as you're saying that, because I just pictured, you know, some of those girls like who we were reading with, Mary and Regina, and those girls who are older,
mm-hmm.
they were really
mm-hmm.
able to read with us, you know, in a year from now, going back and they'll be reading to the younger kids, you know, in that
exactly.
way we teach many, many more children.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're up against the clock. Anything
else? Oh, I know. I know. I saw that. I was going to, I wanted to squeeze in that one last story about reading in the rainstorm, but I think, okay, I can hold off on the rest and just urge people, if they haven't read the blog, to go check it out because it's really fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. Yeah. And,
you
know,
it's heavy on pictures.
For your willingness to come on the trip and your, you know, great addition to the project. So. Thanks for everything.
Oh, well, thank you. It was truly, truly my pleasure. And thanks for your fine leadership. It was such a wonderful trip.
It really was. It was very special. Yep, yep. Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks. You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Great. Yourself?
Great. I'm great, too.
Good. I listening to those gals with their stuffy heads coming back from Zambia. And so here's a little something fun that somebody told me today. Now, hopefully they're listening and anybody else. So I don't know. I haven't tried this, but I've heard, you know, those miracle reports.
Yeah.
So when you feel like you are getting a cold, or even actually when you have a cold, you get some castor oil and put it on all the membranes inside your nose, in your mouth, around your gums, the top of your mouth, all the way back as far as you can.
Uh-huh.
In your mouth, and you just coat it. And I said, isn't that just disgusting? And the report was, no, it's not nearly as bad as we've been told. I'll see if I get maybe another report. But you do this every half hour, and the report is that it will just knock it in no time flat.
Wow.
And the other piece of that I learned today, so there was somebody else who was standing there as I was getting this information, and he said, and since you're getting castor oil, get some extra, dilute it, put it in a sprayer, and spray your garden with it. It's the one thing that gophers cannot abide, and they will leave your garden if you offer them castor oil.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? Now, we've been at the monastery, we've been trying to get rid of gophers since about 1988. And this was the most optimistic sounding thing I'd heard so far. Oh.
Wow.
Castor oil.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
So here's the deal, Michael. We used to have this whole conversation at the beginning because we had all of these things on the horizon, right?
Yes.
But now we have one retreat coming up, and it is so chock-a-block full that even hooks will not help us get more people in there. And and that's it until the new year.
Wow.
Isn't that? I mean, so it's just something. Just remember when it used to take us 10 minutes to go through all of the things that we had coming up. Of course, I don't know when the new schedule will go up, but then when that happens, I guess we can start that in again. But in the interim.
Here we are.
Here we are. And do we have anybody who wants to talk to us?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, excellent.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Scott from Menlo Park.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Sherry. Long time no talk.
I know. What's going on with you?
A lot.
Uh-huh.
I just got duped by conditioning in such a significant way. I don't think I've ever been duped so bad and for so long.
Wow.
And I just got unduped yesterday.
Yikes. Can you tell us give us a few details? Because there might be others of us either currently duped, getting ready to be duped, or who will relate and sympathize from many past occasions of being duped.
Yeah, this will serve as a precautionary tale for all Zen students,
okay.
I think. So my life is probably better than it has ever been that I can remember, which it and that's a good thing, but I'm seeing now how the better things are, the more conditioning wants to screw it all up.
Yes.
So, you know,
sad
I,
but true.
You know, yeah, you know, I'm married and happily so. And my wife got pregnant in July. So we're expecting a little person in March.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Sherry. And
that's very exciting.
That's a lot of things. Exciting is one of them.
Yes.
Work has been probably better than it has ever been. And in September, I stopped sleeping. I got the worst case of insomnia I've ever had in my life. And it kept going through October, and it kept going through November. And I started to have panic attacks, and I've never had a panic attack in my life. And I went to the hospital with these panic attacks because I thought I was going to die. And I kept going, and they kept going, and I kept not sleeping, and I kept having panic attacks. And I availed myself of traditional therapy and in an effort to figure out what was going on. And I went on a walk yesterday with a very good friend, fellow Zen student, and I started the walk by saying, I think I'm going to get divorced from my wife. I think I have to leave and go somewhere else to calm down so that I can sleep. I don't know if I go to this place to calm down so I can sleep if I'm ever going to come back. And a half an hour later, I realized, what am I talking about? I love my wife. I'm excited about having a kid. I'm excited about everything. My life is better than it has ever been. And I started the conversation thinking I was going to get divorced. Now, it is astounding to me is that I could get so duped by conditioning that it could turn something that's the best thing that's ever happened to me into the worst thing that's ever happened to me. That's how I got duped.
Yeah. You know, we just did an email class. And
I participated in that email class.
Uh-huh. So if you had a chance to read along, you know that there were a number of people in the class who were kind of new to our practice who were convinced that I'm just over the top with this paranoid approach to the voices and to self-hate and, you know, that demonizing these voices is just not helpful. They're just the mind doing what the mind does and that sort of thing. And I just, you know, when people, part of me just says, you know, inside, oh, God, I hope you never find out how wrong you are.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And what I can see in this is when I'm sleeping, like the way I normally sleep, I can see what's going on. Perfect, but I can when conditioning starts saying some nutty stuff, I can see, oh, that's conditioning saying nutty stuff. When I'm not sleeping, however, what I have seen is sleep is the only tool it has at its disposal to make anything it says believable.
Yeah.
And it used it to a degree that I didn't think was even possible. If it wasn't so scary, it would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, because there you are in a weakened state. I mean, you're thrown off. In the beginning, you're a little thrown off because this is
not,
but it's okay. You know, it's going to be all right. You have no evidence of it not being all right. You haven't slept for a little while, but then you get back on track. And then time goes on, and it's introducing the fear, the, yeah, but what if it doesn't? And, oh, my God. And then
right.
It's watching for, well, you know, you're not as sharp as you were. And, you know, the stress is really, and then the anxiety builds. And, of course, it's building anxiety and worry all the time. And until, yeah, a person gets to the point where they're talking about anything that will give them relief.
It's quite remarkable. And you know, I ended up going to see a doctor Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday, who actually was helpful and gave me stuff so I can sleep. And I feel every day I get a normal night's sleep, I feel more and more clear-headed. And even in that, I noticed he was giving me instructions for medication to take and all of that stuff. And my mind was saying, oh, no, I don't need that. No, we don't want to take medication. And I.
Who are
and,
we?
Yeah, exactly. Which we are you referring to? Because I want to sleep.
Yeah.
And if this doctor is telling me to take this medication to sleep, well, then I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So all I can say is I never in a million, I mean, I've been doing this Zen practice for a while. I never could see so clearly that conditioning wants to take everything that I have away from me so that I'm only in a relationship with it.
Yep.
And wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's astounding.
It's absolutely astounding. And I got to say, I'm always grateful for this practice. A lot of times it's like saying I love you to my wife. I say it and I feel it, and it's true, but I don't feel it in every cell in my body. And I feel the same way about saying I'm grateful for this practice. I know it's true, but I don't feel it in every cell in my body every time I say it.
Yes.
I feel it in every cell right now.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I feel like that allowed me to understand and see what was happening. And, after I took this walk, I called my wife, who has been amazing, but it's been very hard for her. And I told her what I just told you. And she said, first thing she said was, the old Scott is back. And it was like I was possessed.
Yeah, yeah. And of course it was hard for her, right? Because she knew that, right? And we watched somebody fall into that kind of a pit and know that there's nothing that we can actually do to help them.
I know. So I thank you. Thank Michael. Thank this practice. And thank you for making all of the practice opportunities available, all the tools available. And I don't know what to say except the deepest gusho.
And to you, Scott, I'm so happy. I am so incredibly happy for you and your wife and that baby and all of us.
Thanks, Sherry. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good Bye now.
Scott. Thanks for joining us, Scott. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow, Sherry.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, it's what Scott is saying is so true and it's so accurate. I think often about people who get into that kind of place and have no resources.
Yeah.
Have no support, have no practice, no perspective that they can that will give them that kind of moment of disidentification that Scott described. And I just I'm right there. I'm feeling that gratitude in every cell in my body too.
Yes. Me too. It's amazing. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Who's this?
My name is Omar. So it's a long time from the time I've called the first time.
You are calling from the middle of the night in a country far away.
Yes, I am.
How have you been? You cannot imagine the number of times I've thought about you and wondered how you were doing and like that. So how are you?
Really? Oh, that's very nice of you to say. And I thought about practice and yourself a lot of times. I bought all of your books and I read I'm almost finished with There Is Nothing Wrong With You. And I also subscribed to the last email class. But I'm calling you because I really have to get off something from my chest, and I really need your help in some major issues that I'm having. the last time I called, I was utterly desperate. I had no really I had no idea what to do for myself, but at least now I have a plan, which is following your practice and following your teachings, your instructions, in order to beat to get out of this this huge self-hate that I was that I am still that I'm battling, and this huge conditioning that is really messing up my life completely from almost two years. Right now I began was about 2-3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, it was with the online class that I started really having and doing serious workouts and having doing walks and going to mountains and climb mountains and going with a friend and to other friends to see all different kinds of animals and wild nature, and that was kind of a release for me, to kind of cleanse in my mind.
Yes.
From all the voices that are destroying me.
Yeah, so getting outside that that oppression from those voices, get outside in the fresh air and move your body and see a larger world, and it changes the energy, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does. It does. I had, unfortunately, I didn't do it right after we talked this summer, because I my dad gave me some medications from his psychiatrist that really didn't work on me, two of them, and gave me terrible side effects, and I was through with all that. I don't know if I can say crap.
I say it all the time, so yeah.
thank you. that's refreshing. I was through with all that crap in October, and I began to slowly, step by step, you know, kind of trying to get out of my house, talk to people, to a few people again, and it was a huge help for me to read There Is Nothing With You, There Is Nothing Wrong With You book, because it opened my eyes in a lot of in a lot of things that before I wasn't understanding that what was going on. So I basically improved myself for a good 20%, but still I'm having a very very tough time. I'm still not myself. I still don't feel my my soul and my true self in me. You know, it's like the caller before was saying, it was as if I am possessed by the conditioning, by demons, by something that doesn't let me be the real Omar, you know, the real myself.
Yeah.
What happened that really ticked me off is that I had this big walks and this big mountain things and helping animals and shelter to, you know, to find home for to find home, new homes for dogs, cats, and staying with wild animals and all this. I had this I did this while instead of doing the November the class, the there is nothing with you class, and I missed. I did the first two assignments, then the other ones I did them on my own. I have a notebook, a very old school notebook, which I write by hand all the things that I, which I basically write the answers, and then I do the recording and listening. But I did like five or six until the sixth assignment, but I wasn't able because of all this that I've done. I wasn't able to finish, to even do other other than two assignments in this class, which was very helpful for me for everything that I've read and all the and. Now I kind of feel very bad for this and I don't know how to make it up to myself, because that class would could really fix me up, and I kind of missed it. Even if I have all the answers and this, but you know, I don't. I will not have
hey,
the
Omar.
The yes.
The deal. Write it up, and do you have the email address for our office information?
Yes.
Living
yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. You write it up, and put at the top of it that it's for me. Send it in.
Yes.
And I'll respond to it. How about that?
Thank you so much.
Then there's no loss. We'll just continue. We'll have our own email class.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. It's such a, you know, life and death situation for me. I'm so, I feel so bad. You know, I'm 24 years old and my life is in dire straits.
Yep.
You know, I want to get back and to get back to college and study like I used to. I'm so bored and of studying online and not being able to go and have a normal life on ground because of my anxiety and of my panic attacks. I still have them. They are less, but you know, it's still.
Yeah.
I'm still under attack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, it is very much what Scott was talking about You know, it goes along, and then there's what's happening to you, and then there's what the voices do with what's happening to you. So,
yes.
Of course, as everybody tells you and as you know, the best thing you can do is to just stay as calm as you can and keep breathing and know that this is perhaps, you're 24, so, you know, I'm a little older than that. So that this might turn out to be the most important piece of your education.
Yes.
Because you're getting to know you're getting to know the person. You're getting to know Omar. And so you'll be, you know, there's time for you to add all of that other kind of information and knowledge. But getting to know him, taking care of him, helping him to heal is something that will just change the rest of your life in unimaginable ways. And I don't know if you've read enough of what I've written to know this, but I do speak from experience on that because
yes.
just about
yes.
your age when I stepped into that same giant dark hole that you have stepped into.
Yeah, that's why I'm. I really believe in you, and I try to follow everything that you say because you have been through it, and there are so many other people that actually didn't help me, and that I've paid for example, psychiatrists and those other. I don't want to.
They do the best they can, but there's just something about having the experience that just makes it a whole different thing. Which again, I would say, whatever you thought you were going to study and whatever you thought you were going to do with your life, this may actually be opening you up to the direction that your life is actually going to go in. Because who can say? Maybe you're the next one to be there. To offer support and understanding for people who go through what you're going through now.
I love that. I would have no problem in doing that.
Good. Okay, now you finish up those classes, huh? Now don't let me down this time, all right?
No, I will.
All right,
and
I
also subscribed for...
We were going to communicate before, and then... I didn't hear from you again, so...
No, the problem... it got really bad with the side effects of the medicines, and then I really wanted to read your books, especially the There Is Nothing with You, and read them again, and absorb that great information to talk to you again. Because if I was going to talk to you and say, oh, I didn't read this, I didn't read this, I don't know what practice is, I don't know what recording and listening is, I would have felt a little embarrassed by it. And at times you say nobody's gonna care about you. Even I have my mom is the best person in the world. She's so lovely and so wonderful, but she's the only thing I have. I lost all my friends. I lost my my grandma, which was basically my mother, because I was raised by my grandparents, and every time I'm so scared of my health because I had cancer 2 years ago. I have those nasty obsessions that just can't go away. And I would love to talk to you about them, but I'm so embarrassed to talk to you about them here in front of everybody because
That's
they
right.
are a,
so
a little bit.
That's right. So we're going to make a different plan. Okay. So send me those classes and we'll talk. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
And I'm also subscribed and I'm going to absolutely finish the, I'm not going to let you down. I will do the, I'm doing the December class.
Good.
Because
you don't need to wait to write until you finish. Just as soon as you get something done, send it off.
I will. I will.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll be in touch soon?
Yes. Yes. We will. We will. And I really, even if, you know, Michael is not going to like me and the callers are not going to like me because I kind of monopolized the time.
Okay.
But I really need it because I'm really in a bad shape. Those people have to understand.
Yep.
And I truly understand and understood what Scott was saying because I went through it all.
And you know,
and going through it all.
That's right. And that's one wonderful thing about our Sangha. You know, people do understand. And we do know that, you know, sometimes this person needs a little more and then somebody else needs a little more. And that, you know, each one of us is going to need a little more at some point. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I need a lot more and I'm going to call at least twice a month.
Okay.
If possible. Well, if it's fine, you know, if it up for me, and we'll stay in touch via email, you will do me a miracle if it's really, it will be.
We'll get together and do the best we can. How about that?
Yes, yes.
All right.
So, because my it's a bad thing to say, but it's not a good term, but my dream would be to talk to you in private about my obsessions, you know, that I have, and,
yep. And
about
so
my fears and everything, because I'm so embarrassed to do it in front of America like this.
Right. So we'll do it in private. Don't you worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
We got
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll be in touch.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Omar.
You really made. You didn't make my day. You made my month, and you gave me the best Christmas present ever. Thank you. Thank you, and thanks to all the Sangha and Gassho to everybody. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Omar. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
More
Sherry, we're going to hear
more of those up in the middle of the night people.
Yes.
Very
yes.
Courageous. Yeah.
Yes. Very willing. Very willing. We're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software, for Macs and iPhones and iPads, and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Talk Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
I'm Danielle Regia.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who is this?
Danielle Regia.
Well, welcome. How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
Well, I called just because I just this past September moved to a new school just a couple blocks away from my old school, and just like a whole bunch of different things going on, you know, homework, having fun, boys, different things.
Uh-huh. So does this mean you're having a good life?
Most of the time, yes.
And when you're not?
When I'm not, my mom is either yelling at me or making me do something like that she is completely capable of doing.
Uh-huh. Like what?
Like, I don't know, cleaning up the kitchen, like washing the dishes.
Uh-huh.
And? And helping me with projects. Like, she can help me, but she's, like, trying to do other things, and she doesn't really sit down and help me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How old are you?
12 and a half.
Huh. All right. And so it sounds like you might have some of the same thing going on, right?
Yeah.
Each of you kind of busy with your own thing and wanting the other to be a little more helpful?
Yeah.
So do you talk about that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Good. And does that seem helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. Well, anything else going on?
Well, right now I'm working on a project on the Egyptian afterlife.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the computer wasn't working, so that made me a little frustrated.
Uh-huh.
And so now we're just trying to keep it cool.
Uh-huh. Trying to be patient?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not always easy.
Yeah.
Are you getting some coaching there from the sidelines?
Yeah, from Tracy Thiel.
Uh-huh.
And now if you want to talk to her.
Well, are we through talking?
I'm also having a hard time with projects.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do part of a project and then I don't get the grade that I want. And then my mom yells at me and then says I have to, like, redo the whole project.
Hmm. So it sounds like mom yelling is kind of a constant, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I say, do you take that personally? Do you know what I mean? Is it
yeah.
make you feel bad?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's like she says something that makes me feel like a little less conscious of what's going on.
Uh huh.
But most often she's like, "Well, you didn't get the grade you were supposed to get, and you should redo the whole project." And when I do put a lot of effort into it.
Uh huh. So it feels like you're working really hard and doing your best.
Yes.
It doesn't always result in the grade you'd like to have, but you're doing your best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can feel good about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, if you don't get the grade, well, you don't get the grade. But as long as you know you've done the best that you can do, that's kind of the best we can do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. So does Tracy want to talk to me or?
Sure.
All right. Well, good. Well, it's very nice talking to you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Maybe we can talk again?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hi, Sherry. Wasn't planning on talking, but now that the phone's in my hand, I will report in on something.
Good, good.
Last time I called was around getting so triggered with an episode around my boyfriend, and I was sharing how it was such a great experience around watching everything without self-hate getting involved.
Yes.
And your guidance was that I can do that and try that in other scenarios. And I was at home over Thanksgiving, not home, but my mother, where my mother and my brother are, and it was so amazing having the opportunity to do a couple projects with my mom and realizing that, you know, if something came up for her, if all I did was held the space and you had used the word like facilitated, just really just, you know, reflect a little, just hold the space without judgment, how what came out on the other side was just heart. And it was just the coolest thing because it felt so effortless. It felt like I had to do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And usually, you know, when my mom gets triggered, you know, it kind of something comes up for me and there's some responsibility or what do I need to do, how to work through this. And it was amazing. It was almost that same place that I was able to hold for myself when I went through something. I still went through it and it wasn't fun. But there was someone that was also present to it. And then to have the experience of having someone external go through something and all I did was be present to it, it was just really cool.
You know, of course, the thing that I think about when you're talking is adequacy.
It's adequacy and how by not engaging with what was kind of, you know, the subpersonality that, or, you know, she had some beliefs about some certain stuff, and I didn't engage with any of it. And that, you know, what moved through was, yeah, this adequacy and this, like, oh, everything is really just fine, and this
right.
is really enjoyable. And,
you know,
and
it,
yeah,
it's taken,
it, yeah, adequacy.
It's taken so long to get it. It's such a simple thing, but it takes time. And that is that people actually want to have their life experience.
Yeah, and how I've gone through my 40-some years of living always feeling like someone in me had to do something to help someone else. I mean, I had to, like, be a somebody in someone else's, I don't know, just it's something. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, conceptually I've understood it. But to actually have the experience of just how effortless it is just
Tracy.
Tracy,
hang on.
Yes.
Thank you. I managed to get all choked up. It wasn't over anything you said. I'm fine. I'm adequate to my experience, but I did get a little choked up.
Oh.
So So anyway, excuse me, where were we?
So, yeah, just the adequacy of experience. And I love how you said, you know, everyone just wants to have their own experience. And it can be as simple as that. And it seems so, being a conditioned human, it seems so much so complex. And really when you have an experience of how really simple it is, and it was just really cool. So I wanted to report in on that.
Good. And it's a comforting thing to know oneself be adequate and everybody else be adequate.
Yeah.
So relaxing.
It's very relaxing. It's very relaxing, but on the same thing, and I'll call in some other time and talk about it. It's interesting what other layers of conditioning are coming up. And like I said, it's probably another topic, another conversation, but it's like I kind of see through something and then something else, like some other something is unlayered, you know, other thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's
you're
like, yeah, it's so relaxing and wonderful and being into that space, and then something kind of comes in to get that attention again.
That's right. But here's the thing. At least this is that's how awareness practices. So our opportunity as conscious, aware, compassionate human beings is so there it is. You know, there's a layer of something there, a suffering, something unfinished, something that needs to be embraced in acceptance. You do that, and there's the next thing. So if our experience, if our focus is on embracing whatever arises into compassion, then we get to live in a world of embracing whatever arises into compassion. If we fall for the old, well, I want to embrace this so that it'll be over so that I can rest, resting, of course, is not nearly as wonderful as living in an embrace of compassionate acceptance. So conditioning would say, well, I want to get through this, and then, whew, I can relax for a while and rest, and things will be easy. But that's not really what we're going for. What we're going for is, okay, now what needs to be embraced? Because as long as we're here, you know, we might as well do as much as we can.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a great thing for me to look at, because I'm watching as soon as I'm relaxing into, like, wow, you know, like I had a really wonderful, very present experience last night, and then I came home and, you know, conditioning is right there of like, oh, you know, to do, and I'm hungry and it's dark and it's cold and rah, 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 rah.
That's right. And so that's what's there to be embraced in compassion.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and the embracing that, so there's a person, you know, it's dark, it's cold, she's hungry, and so, good, well, here's somebody who needs love. Let's love her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your experience is not, oh, God, life is hard. It's, yay, love.
Yeah, okay, great.
Good deal, isn't it?
It's a good deal.
All right, well, thanks, Gail.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Michael.
Good
You're
night.
Welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Janice from Canada.
Well, hello. How are you?
Well, I
am... A trick question? Sorry.
What's that?
I didn't mean that to be a trick question. It sounded like it kind of threw you there. Well, let me see. Well, let's try it again. How are you?
Hi, Sherry. I'm very happy I got through, because it's the first time I've ever been able to get through. And how I do everything is what I'm looking at through just even one process like this. And I have a sitting group afterwards, so I've and I used to have something else, so I've adjusted my whole life, so as soon as the show is over, I go off, but my car is already packed. And I, each time there's some thing that I stumble on, it's phoning in is not free, and I got the phone bills from being on the phone, and then I realized, like, it doesn't even kick into my cheap plan, so maybe I should just save the money and make a donation and not call in. So using the practice against me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, a very bad idea, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know if I would ever hear something like, you're unmuted now, or what to do, because I heard a call where there were about four people and they kept saying next caller and nobody was talking. And I thought, oh, maybe I won't hear when they're actually doing something.
And you'll be one of those people. Just
yes. And then I had my reflective listening buddy call and I started to talk about this last week. And I, as I spoke, I realized, like, because in the winter we go to a snowy little cabin, and my sitting group is actually exactly, it starts at when the whole call is going on. And this week would be my very last opportunity for 3 months. So I just made myself commit myself. And
have
and
man, a meant-to-be feel to it, doesn't it?
Ah, I tell you, I couldn't believe the what conditioning was to trying to do to me the whole time about, well, if I do this, then I can't go to sitting tonight and lead the group. Or and then I was on the call, and the other calls sounded so important to me. And then I got to a point, even during the calls, where I was like, God, I hope I'm not unmuted.
Uh-huh.
So I got to see it all.
And again, it's astounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we're going around in life, just going around, people, it takes a while for us to get that it's not a benign little world that we're living in. Now, when you some situation like this, where it's so starkly mirrored for us what's going on, we can get a sense that, wow, you know, this is not friendly, this what I'm up against. But when we're just going around the world and we're listening to that stuff, and it's still it's directing our experience, it's calling the shots in life, but we don't recognize it for what it is. Yeah?
Right. Right.
Then we get to see it. And as we see it, like in a situation like this, it becomes a little more visible in the other places where it just seems to be, you know, chatting with us about things. You know, well, if you do this, then that, or then, well, that, you know, that means that. And, but, you know, and we don't get that, wait a minute, my life is being orchestrated by a process that I'm not fully consciously aware of.
Yeah, and the seeing the orchestration in that, one of the things that's really helpful for me is just going straight to my body. Like what it was doing as far as sensations arising was just astounding. From being completely, you know, like really bothered and hot and anxious, sort of like, to then all of a sudden that like dead calm, quiet, like, oh my God, I hope I'm not unmuted. You know, I'll just sit here still and nothing will happen. It's really, really visceral, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a real argument for putting ourselves into those places, isn't it? Now, of course, conditioning would say that it's a real argument for not putting ourselves into those positions. But if we really do want to wake up and end suffering, then positioning ourselves so that we get our best shot at seeing what's really going on for us or to us with us is wise. You know, it behooves us to see what this system is that's orchestrating our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just I remember you saying before, like just when, you know, one feels like, oh, they've just got it, that part figured out, or that's just getting a good handle, getting to know this, it's done. That one's finished, and a new one pops up.
Yes.
Just like you were speaking with the last caller. So I think that my word is courage, really, you know, just to face it, because whatever it is, no matter how extreme it is, it is it's just another door to step through.
Yes. Another opportunity to experience freedom, another opportunity to choose compassion, to take care of the person who otherwise will live in fear of that system.
Right. Yeah. And that person has probably been abandoned long enough.
Oh, yeah.
That's the, yeah.
And that's
direct
what does
experience.
It. That's what does it, isn't it? I mean, as soon as you get that, wait a minute, you know, it's not like if I continue to choose conditioning, nothing happens. If I continue to choose conditioning, then this perfectly great human being is going to be left in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So the stakes really are high, and that is where we find that courage. Like, do I want to go in that burning building? No. There's a child in there? Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for extending the email class.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I've just actually just turned on my recorder now just while I got unmuted so I can hear this too. Using the recording as many times as I can dream up is a good idea.
Oh, it is, isn't it? It's an amazing support.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Now, let me ask you this, though. You're going for 3 months to a little cabin in the snow?
Mm-hmm.
And you sound happy about that.
Well, it's in the same province, so it's I don't need a passport to get there, and what I've been doing since a year ago September, I just make sure this really has helped me. Made a plan to just get up and watch the day arrive and don't listen to conditioning, just step outside, even if it's minus 20 or what, and if there's the sun rising or if it's not, like here, if it's raining, if it's not, I just step out and I feel better just being in that fresh air. So I may as well be where it's dry and snowy and I can put some snowshoes on and do some other things. It's relatively civilized, but it's a pretty peaceful thing, and I can go cross-country skiing if I want. And
sounds kind of heavenly, well, actually.
Have a little sangha that, you know, we started at that, you know, 15 years ago. So once a week we drive down the mountain.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
So everybody wants to know why we're not going south.
Uh-huh. Well,
they
why?
Have that same question. But medical insurance would be awfully expensive too for my partner.
You know, had things. That winter sunshine is overrated, don't you think? All right. Well, I'm glad
waking up in the morning is good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm glad we got to talk to you, and take good care of yourself, huh?
Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Bye, bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. What a show, Sherry.
Yeah, my goodness. Don't you just love people?
Yes, I do.
People are just amazing critters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
All right, so we'll talk next week?
Sounds great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.